If you'd turn in your Bibles back to Joshua again. When I, some 21 years ago, we lived in Milton from 2001 to 2005. And while I was living there, I was made aware of how God had blessed Otago and Southland. With visionary spiritual leadership. And being here now, I've been made aware of this once again. Graham and Alan have told me tales of Punaware and the blessing of the Keswick Convention. I personally know the blessing of CYC Waihola. And these things that came about, came about because God called up one of his own to the task of starting these things. And it's not only them, but Gideons and Bible society, missionary societies, Bible colleges, even whole denominations have come about because of the calling of one man. The Lutheran Church is an example of this. And the interesting thing is that God doesn't just call those whom we think are important people. He calls you and I, first to be his people, and secondly to do his will on earth as it is in heaven. I don't know if you guys have, if you've said the Lord's Prayer, how much you actually thought through that little line. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Have you ever thought about that? How is his will done on heaven? It's nowhere near like that there on this earth. But that's what we're asking him to do. And that's what he calls us to do. And you are, so therefore you are to live as a person chosen by God. Therefore you are to be strong, courageous, and faithful. And here in this chapter before us, God is calling Joshua, as I've said before, to lead the tribes of Israel into becoming a nation. Not just a wandering mob. Joshua's calling was to settle the tribes in the land that God had given them. And we know how successful he was. We can read the end of the story. But this is right at the beginning. And the people are on the verge of the Jordan. They can see the Jordan. They can see across it. And they know that it's not going to be a cakewalk. They know that it's going to take effort. And they know also, they've experienced enough of fighting and battles and stuff to know that some of them are going to suffer. And you can think of some of them looking at each other saying, well, is it going to be you or is it going to be me? So right at this moment, Moses has died, Joshua is about to start as leader, and how will he go? Will the people follow? And as a church, this is the question your elders ask themselves also, as you search for a new pastor. Look for a man chosen by God, whom you can commit to respect and to follow. Well, in addition to commissioning him in Numbers, God gave Joshua a specific call here in the first chapter. A necessary ingredient for strong Christian leadership is a call to that task. It is an important sense in which you are called. There is an important sense in which you are all called to God's service in a general way. You are all to be disciples of Jesus Christ and to do good works. As Ephesians 2 verse 10 reminds us that we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. And I love the fact that the verse doesn't stop there. We're created in Christ Jesus to do the works that God has prepared for us in advance. There's actually no excuse for anybody not doing anything because we're all called to do it. We just don't know what it is. It's like a mystery box. You know, those advent calendars that have chocolate hidden behind them. We don't know what kind of chocolate it is. We just know that it's something good. And that's the same with our doing good works for God. We don't know what that good work is exactly, but it's there to be done. But here we have Joshua called to this a specific work. And when you're called to a specific work, it gives the leader strength as he does that work. And if it wasn't for that call, many pastors would quit the job within the first year. Some was in the first month. If it wasn't for that call, and Joshua receives this call. And he receives it in two ways. First, by his commissioning by Moses, and second, in God's detailed charge to him before the conquest. And it's because of this that Joshua was ready to issue the order for them to move into the promised land. And at the time this call came to him, Joshua was only one of two men who had been in that land. Now, if you remember, a few weeks back I reminded you that when Israel came out of Egypt, it's estimated that there's about 2 million of them. This is 40 years later. So there's probably a few more than that hanging around. And, so they're going to go in, and Joshua's having to lead them. He's the only one out of that, or two of them, one of two out of all that millions of people who have been there who know what they're looking for or what they're looking at. Joshua and Caleb had entered it with the original 12 spies 38 years earlier. So Joshua knows the strength of the enemy. He has seen those walled cities. He had looked at awe at the giants. And humanly speaking, the majority were right. They can't face them. They can't beat them. They have no experience of attacking walled cities. But the majority wasn't right because they didn't take into account God. If God were not with his people in this conquest, they would be routed and utterly destroyed. But Joshua did not see things merely from a human point of view. He never worked out a military equation without God being the dominant factor in that equation, especially when God is the one who's saying, go and do this. And it's the same for us in ministry, in our daily lives. He says, go and make friends. Go and preach the gospel. Go and make disciples. And looking at ourselves, I mean, I don't have the gift of evangelism. Like Timothy, I don't think Timothy had the gift of evangelism either, but Paul writes to him and says, do the work of an evangelist. I know, Timothy, you don't have the gift of evangelism, but go and do the work of an evangelist. And humanly speaking, it's pretty hard and pretty tough. But we've got to remember that God wants us to go and do that. That God will empower us to go and do that. That God will go before us and do that. And that's exactly where Joshua is at with this invasion. So when God called him, the probability of conquering the land now became a certainty, and he moves ahead vigorously. It has been said that no person is as invincible as one who is certain that God has called him or her to a task. No person is as bold as one who knows that God has already given him the victory. Do you know what task God has called you to? Most people don't. But while you're figuring it out, do not neglect to share the gospel with your friends, with your neighbors, with your workmates. Do not neglect to practice the fruits of the Spirit with them. And the final ingredient for effective Christian leadership is faith in God. And it's needed as much today as it ever was, as at the time of Joshua. the first part of Joshua 1 there is the verse that is quoted in the New Testament, and it applies to us, and it concerns this very matter. In verse 5, God tells this great military commander, "I will never leave you or forsake you." And this text is quoted by the author of the Hebrews, to which he then adds, "So we may say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" It's the same general statement that Jesus made. And he said, fear not him who can destroy the body. Fear him who can destroy the soul. It's a negative way of putting it. But it's still the same truth. That God is with us as we seek to do his will. There's a whole lot of bunch of other things in there that we could debate for hours on end. But the simple is that God, there are things that God wants us to do, and we know that what they are. The Great Commission is very simple. As you're going into the world, make disciples, baptizing them and then teaching them. It's not simple to do, but it is a simple thing to follow. Show love to those who don't love you. It's not that we don't know what we can do, so we don't want to know what we can do. And this is exactly what Joshua experienced, and what he must have said to himself hundreds of times. God was for him. God had called him. He trusted God. And then you read biographies of great leaders, there's great Christian leaders, and a lot of them have big moments of doubt until they focus back on God, focus back on the calling that he'd given them, focus back on the fact that God has initiated this, God has provided for this, God will finish this. And therefore Joshua will lead the people into the battle, knowing that they would be invincible as long as God continued to be on their side. And people follow a leader like that, because to follow him is to follow God. And this is why we find the chapter closing with these words. "Then they," the people, "answered Joshua, 'Whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you.'" I wonder how Joshua actually felt that, because he knew that they hadn't fully obeyed Moses. Or maybe these ones who are still alive may have done. But at least they're encouraging him. They're saying that they're behind him. They'll back him up. But their proviso was, "Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you do, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous." If this was a Bible study, we'd spend hours trying to unpack some of that extra. One of the good things about preaching is that you can bypass some of those things for later. But if anybody wants to talk to me about that, I'm happy to do so later. And as I said, the people hadn't fully obeyed Moses, and they will not fully obey Joshua. But that didn't faze Joshua. He held on and did his duty to the very end. Why? Because he wasn't working for the people. He was working for God. His call wasn't from the people. Sure, it's helpful. It's strengthening. It's encouraging to have people who encourage you. But our service, first and foremost, is to God. Our calling is first and foremost from God. And then confirmed from people. there's a an older theologian called Louis Burkhoff, and in his systematic theology book, he has what is called the three signs. What he says, the three signs of, or three points of a call. First of all, that there's a need. Is there a need? Secondly, do you think that you can fill that need? And thirdly, do others think you can fill that need? And if the answer is yes to all three, well then, that's probably a call from God. You don't actually have to hear God speak. There are signs around that you can read and look at. Joshua, I'm jealous of Joshua. He actually heard God's voice. But many thousands didn't. And yet they still obeyed God. They still put into practice the calling that God had given them. So what about you? Are you strong enough? Are you courageous enough to remain faithful in all things to God? Study the life of Joshua and learn how you too can be strong, courageous, and faithful. And as we go through Joshua, Joshua is one of those rare heroes, biblical heroes, who doesn't fail too terribly badly. He has one failing, and when he doesn't listen with regards, but the rest of it, he's pretty good, especially if you measure him up against David, who commits murder and adultery. Joshua comes out smelling pretty good as a guy, which is, as I said, very rare in the heroes of the scripture. But we are called to be strong, courageous, and faithful in our service to God. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Father, we thank you for your mercy. We do pray that you would fill us with your Spirit, that we would be strong, courageous, and faithful, that we would not put ourselves forward, but that we would ask you to go before us, that we'd walk in your steps. Oh, use us, O Lord, to glorify the Lord Jesus. Use us to help others to grow in grace and in faith, so that together we may glorify our God and our Savior. So we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.